Good afternoon, everyone. My name is David Campbell. I'm from the University of Florida. This is my first ASHS, so I'm happy to be here. I'm also happy to present preliminary research on on-farm trials that we did this past year. So I'm located in Gainesville, Florida, which is where the UF logo is located in the top middle part of the state. The two red circles are where Florida has more peach production in the state. Florida doesn't have a lot of peach production in the state, but in the past, the acreage and the number of farms growing peaches has increased. Growers in the southeast experience a multitude of pests and diseases. Peach growers, any grower does, but peach growers in particular. In the southeast, we deal with plum curculio and brown rot as some of our major diseases. Early in the season, you can see gamosis in trees, and this will only progress as the season goes on. It can kill the tree if it gets extensive enough. Early season stink bug damage results in late season cat-faced injuries, and early season and middle season grasshopper injury results in unmarketable fruit as well. Later in the season, we see thrips damage. In the mid-season, we start to see scab, and late season, we start to see brown rot show up. Growers, in order to have a profitable peach industry, they need to select the proper germplasm, and they need to conduct proper orchard sanitation to help mitigate these and other issues. The growers, when these preventative practices start to fail, which in the South they are always failing, growers need to conduct any sort of spray program. There are some that are spraying antimicrobial antagonists, some spraying copper-based sprays, and organically approved insecticides to mitigate the damage. The point of this talk and the point of this aspect of my research is to look at an alternative practice, which is bagging. So you guys were passed around similar bags to what we used this past year. Across the world, it's been shown that bagging does reduce the injury caused by a variety of pest complexes. In 2015, we found out that bagging will affect brown rot and insect injury in South Carolina, and subsequent to that, Dr. Melgar was applied for and received an OREI NIFA grant, and the purpose of that grant, objectives of this grant are to look at and develop a production strategy using bagging to create a financial assessment of bagging, and then to disseminate the results. The picture on the bottom left is the PI of the grant, Dr. Melgar. To the right is Danielle Treadwell. We heard about her earlier. She is the Florida lead and my advisor. The other faculty listed on this slide are from Georgia and South Carolina, and we've assembled a stellar crew from UF with post-harvest physiologists, entomologists, and stone fruit specialists. Earlier this year, we worked with a certified organic farmer. The McLean family farms were located in Claremont, Florida, where the red star is. The McLeans, many of you probably know, started out in citrus, and they've expanded their portfolio to include a couple of small peach groves as well. The experiment that we set up at one of these UPIC operations was a randomized block design with two factors and four replications. The first factor was bagging. Either we bagged each individual fruit on a tree or not. And we also looked at ordinance. We looked at north, south, and east, west to see if that had any impact on fruit quality. The data were analyzed using the GLIMIX procedure in SAS, and the interactions and main factors were evaluated at 0.05. There were no significant interactions with this study, preliminary. The ordinance factor was not significant as well. So the only thing I'm going to report on is bagging or not. During the season, the orchard was established about 7 years ago, but the trunk diameter differed amongst all of the experimental trees, and so we blocked by trunk diameter. There were 24 total trees in the study. In the beginning of the season, we set out insect traps, collected them, and analyzed and ID'd them. We're still in the process of ID'ing them. We tagged branches at the beginning of the season. These tagged branches served as the site where we collected our yield and where we also conducted our disease assessment to mitigate experimenter bias. The data that I'm going to show here are just for our post-harvest, what I call our post-harvest treatment. oil evaluation. We looked at 16 fruit per tree. We conducted a quality assessment back in the lab where we looked at the size, looked at insect damage, and then we subjected these poor fruit to 20 degrees Celsius and saw what happened. We came back 3 and 7 days after, and you'll see what happened. But before we get into that, I want to have the interactive part of this talk. So I passed out these bags. I want to just orient you to this really quickly so you know what we're looking at. If you'd like to take these home for educational purposes, you're welcome to. If you want to give them back to me, I'll use them next year. Okay? So the first thing you do is you identify the notch in the bottom. This is where you insert the fruit. So the fruit goes inside the pieces of bag that extend over the fruiting branch. So if my finger were the fruiting branch, you cinch, and then you wrap this around to secure the bag. And this stays on the tree the entire year or season. The picture in the middle shows a properly installed bag. You can't see the fruit or fruitlet because it's in the bag and it would be pointing down. So the top part, you see the cinched part and the twist tie. In February, we experienced full bloom in Florida, and then in March, we thinned and we bagged and we conducted our harvests in May. So first, let's go over what the buggies did. I'm going to orient you to this graph, and all the subsequent ones are going to be in a similar format. The bagging treatment was always in orange, and the unbagged treatment is always in blue. The percent of fruit affected is located inside of the bar at the very bottom. All the p-values are located below each of the measurements, and the percent of fruit is always on the y-axis. So this is going to be the common theme for anything you see coming up. For all of these, even though they're on the same slide, they weren't analyzed together. So we looked at insect injury and then ran a separate procedure and looked at scab-like lesion. So what we can see here is that the bagging reduced the percentage of fruit that were affected by insects, so fewer insect injuries, and same thing with scab-like lesions. This next picture shows harvested fruit on the left-hand side, so beautiful, relatively brown rot-free fruit, and then the poor fruit that were subjected to the 20-degree treatment on the right-hand side. As we can see here, the bagging, again, continued to be effective with mitigating injury. So at harvest, they had less on a presence-absence scale, brown rot. Same thing at 3 days, same thing 7 days after. When you talk about marketable fruit for a UPIC operation, there are certain considerations that don't hold the same as people who are buying fruit at the store. So the farmer, when I spoke with him, he said people don't care about scab, right? So like they're going to pick the scab. So I looked at the data based on that assessment, and then I ran another one. So what you see here, these are for fruit that had no rot, they had no insect injury, but they had any or an all scab that might have been on the fruit. So when we look at that, the bag treatment has less fruit with damage. So there's more marketable fruit in the bagging operation as compared to the not bagged. If you look at an operation where the consumers are a little more discriminating, so let's say that only 10 scab lesions, like if it has more than 10 scab lesions, I'm leaving it on the tree. If we look at that, we see similar results with the bag treatment still having fewer fruit with damage. The next step in this is, so now we know that bags do reduce the incidence of injury and disease, is let's talk about the money. Okay, so if you buy in quantity, you can get these bags for about a penny a bag. What we did this past year, we put on about 2.5 bags per minute. And we removed about 48 bags per minute. So this all taken together gives the farmer an additional $688 per hectare if they wanted to use the bagging, right? So now let's merge these together and start to get some theoretical results. Now these are very theoretical. These are back of the envelope. There's a lot of things in here that need to be incorporated. So this is nothing that I would say that growers can expect as of right now. What you're looking at here are the no rot, no insect disease, but as much scab as you want, right? On the first line, we have yield. You'll see that those numbers are the same when we analyze that. There was no difference between the two, so that's just the mean of all of the treatments. The next line, the percent marketable, is data that we saw previously, just basically flipped around. That's the percent that was marketable on the tree. Scrolling down to the product value, this is what the farmer actually charged and received in 2018. That's $3 a pound or $6.61 a kilogram. The grower cost was provided by the grower. This is an estimate on a yearly basis. So taking all of these into consideration, we have about a $4,000 net gain for the farmer. This is theoretical. This is if every single piece of fruit was taken off of the tree and if the customers were happy with all of it. So that second line, that percent marketable, is going to change as we learn more and investigate more into this. If we look at the more discriminating customer, the one that will accept a little bit of scab but not a whole bunch of scab, we see those values change slightly but in the same direction toward bagging. So in conclusion, bagging can reduce brown rot, and bagging does reduce brown rot and insect injury. But I think that there are a lot of other things that we really need to look at before we tell the complete story. So in the UPIC operation, I think additional post-harvest quality data is needed. It's actually included in this project. It wasn't in this presentation, but we're looking at other factors of post-harvest quality data. Bagging is a labor-intensive process. Every talk you guys go to, they're like, we need to reduce labor. And I'm standing up here saying, we need more labor, right? So that's the big problem, right? So labor needs to be available for this to be a viable operation. A farmer may be able to take some of this and quarantine some of his area and use the bagging operation and maybe get a premium in that one area if he doesn't have the money or time to do all of it. But that's something that just needs to be kept in mind. The UPIC quality standards, you saw my quick rough shot of no scab, scab at 10 lesions. There are most likely other considerations that are going to be relevant for each UPIC picker, and it's going to change per person. So a better, more robust understanding of what motivates people, if we can find out what that is, then this will help out. This project, I think that complementary spray plans could be something that you can look at with this. A lot of the spray plans are geared towards fruit health and tree health. If these bags can theoretically provide the protection for the fruit, you may not need to spray as much for the fruit and just focus on the tree as far as it being healthy. Can this technique be scaled up to mass market? One thing that I'm interested in with the other states, with Georgia and South Carolina, they're working on a much larger scale. And so we're going to get a better picture of, well, from Florida, here's a UPIC operation, and then we've got other peach growers who are growing for the mass market. So I think the culmination of all of this research is going to tell a nice, robust story. I'd like to thank the USDA NIFA OREI for funding this project, the McLean Family Farms, in particular Benny McLean on the right-hand side. He has been my mentor this past year. He served as almost like the fifth member of my PhD committee. And I'd like to thank everyone on my committee, grant collaborators, and people at UF who have helped so far. Thank you.